Dr. Stephen Crocker.
Good morning, everybody. I'm still getting used to the role, and the first thing was to make it up to here without tripping. And so I've made the minimum requirement for being in these formal roles. Bienvenue au Canada. Welcome to Canada. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of the ICANN board, I want to welcome you to Toronto for ICANN's 45th International Public Meeting. When the world thinks of Canada, many things come to mind: peacekeeping, economic and political stability, hockey, well, when the NHL isn't on strike anyway. But gathered here this week, I'm certain there's something else that the world could easily think of when thoughts turn to Canada, which is communications. The ability to communicate, to harness technology, and defeat distance has been a defining drive for this nation. The nickname the Great White North is bound in the reality of the vast distances in Canada. This nation is the second largest on Earth geographically, but only the 36th largest in population. And through every step of its history, Canada and Canadians have labored to collapse distance and bind Canadians together. The fur trade, the transcontinental railway, and telecommunications have all done this. And this has driven Canada to a number of firsts. ANIC, the first national domestic satellite, launched in 1972, and its successors are still in space. Archie, the first search engine, was developed at McGill University, Montreal. Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, first public broadcaster to go on the internet with the Gopher site back in 1993. Toronto has another link, this one of ideas rather than technology. Just up the road at the University of Toronto, one of the professors published a work that described the great project we're gathered here to discuss. That 1962 book didn't talk about what we're going to be talking about, new GTLDs, DNSSEC, or internet governance. But what it did was examine the idea of the next medium, the next communications technology, and how it would connect people around the world. 30 years before the commercial internet began to spread, Marshall McLuhan's The Gutenberg Galaxy described the global village, a world connected by communications technology. And it's that technology that we've been working on for the past decades, and we'll talk about this coming week. I want to thank several people. I want to thank our hosts from Industry Canada and CIRA, the Canadian Internet Registry, with particular appreciation to Minister Tony Clement, Assistant Deputy Minister Martha Morgan, Heather Dryden, and CIRA's leader Byron Holland. I also want to thank the many senior government officials from all over the world who are here today for the first high-level meeting ever held in conjunction with an ICANN meeting. This is a big accomplishment both for the Governmental Advisory Committee and our hosts. These meetings require an enormous amount of work that goes on behind the scenes, and in the usual words of diplomacy, it's already a success, and we are looking forward to a great success. I want to take a moment in a slightly different direction for something that has affected all of us, has a bit of a personal connection, and has a somewhat surprisingly pleasant Canadian connection. 14 years ago, tomorrow, on October 16th, 1998, we lost John Postel, a very special pioneer. And I'm looking to see if his picture is up. There it is. Here he's shown getting the Silver Award from the ITU. He was a major contributor from the very start, part of the team at UCLA that put the first node on the ARPANET. He worked tirelessly for many years, contributing to the architecture of the internet, helping to create the domain name system, and evolving the function that became known as IANA. This award that he's receiving in this picture was in July of 1998, very shortly before his untimely death. And when he was, during this period, was exactly the period that ICANN was being formed. John worked tirelessly and vigorously to help bring ICANN into existence, and was scheduled to be the first chief technology officer as part of the founding team. Let me ask for another picture to be put up. There we go. This is a hokey concocted picture that was shot as part of a piece that Newsweek did to commemorate the 25th anniversary of the ARPANET. This picture was in July 1994, 4 years before John passed away. And we were all at a meeting. That's Vint Cerf on the right. That's me in the background and John Postel over on the left. Many people have commented that this network cannot work. Although I see, looking at it fresh for the first time in several years, that there is a thematic element that I want to stress, which is exactly what you'd hope for. Your chairman is listening. I'm not doing any talking. This picture was shot while we were at a IETF meeting up the street at the Sheraton, walking distance from here. Spent a very long day concocting all of that, stringing vegetables on strings and trying to figure out that shot. And it's still vivid in my memory. That was a Thursday. Friday I got on a plane, went to Massachusetts. Saturday I got a phone call from the Newsweek editor to iron out a quote. I was carrying a newfangled device called a cell phone and was walking down the street with my daughter, and I answered the phone, and she was so embarrassed that I would be seen with a telephone in my ear walking down the street. She cannot walk down the street these days without a phone in her ear. That was an exciting period back then when we started things up. Our offices were small cubicles in a big room. We had blank sheets of paper to try to sketch out protocols. We organized informal meetings of a network working group. We wrote informal memos that we called requests for comments. We thought all of this was extremely temporary. But had no real clue that we were laying down the foundations for today's Internet Engineering Task Force and later the foundation for ICANN. Aside from my job of welcoming you today, the other key thing I have to do is tell you how happy we are with the arrival of Fadi Shahadi in role of president and CEO. The board worked very hard over the past year in a search process and equally hard in the less visible but nonetheless quite vigorous transition process. Fadi outdid himself in what I know was a very high stress period for him. Things were going quite well for him in the job that he had. And it took quite a bit of work to extricate himself from that. And he advertised that it would take him until the beginning of this month. He was able to accelerate that. But far more impressive to those of us who are watching closely is that in that time when he was said he might have a little bit of time to pay attention to ICANN while he was in transition, he studied very hard, studied deeply, spent quite a bit more time than he advertised, and immediately grabbed hold of several of the hard problems. And so when he started, he was on that very day, on that very morning, able to introduce a couple of very important key hires who you'll hear about, a bit of reorganization and attention to some of the longstanding technical and other kinds of problems that had been needing attention. And he's brought an extremely strong focus on internal organization and on execution. And things which we've already seen from him, and for those of you who were in Prague, have firsthand experience, he listens, he engages, he responds, and he exudes a tremendous amount of comfort, not only on his own part, but in causing others to feel comfortable. He's an enabler, and he is just an incredible human being. You will be thrilled shortly to hear a considerable amount from him. And I don't want to make him nervous here, but I'm glad I'm speaking first. He's a hard act to follow. Let me just take care of a tiny bit of business about the board of directors itself. We are 21 people, including the non-voting liaisons and the CEO. We have been working to gradually improve our efficiency and coordination. It is a series of relatively small things as opposed to some grand set of changes, and it's basically working. We're tightening up on our board meetings. We're planning workload for the year. Some of the things that we're trying have been what I'll call imperfect experiments. We tried to schedule telephone board calls on demand instead of on a predetermined schedule. Why would we do that? We are composed as in accordance with our bylaws from people all over the world. That means that if you're going to have a telephonic board meeting, it's going to be 3 a.m. for somebody. In the past, our board meetings have cranked on 2 hours scheduled, 3 hours in practice, and have been quite onerous. I wanted to shorten our calls, and I also wanted to eliminate them if possible. And where there was business that needed to be passed through the board, there are certain requirements having to do with thresholds on spending or on other kinds of actions, that we would schedule them on demand. Nice idea, didn't work very well. I had not realized the consequences of everybody having previously tried to gear their schedule to when the next board meeting is instead of us scheduling a board meeting as to when it was needed. So we're going to go back on a predetermined schedule. Another thing that I've been very focused on is trying to move ordinary business behind the scenes, get it done. The board meetings themselves are not intended to be primary activities that determine policy. They're not supposed to be the primary activity where subject matters are delved into. We're charged with overseeing the process, making sure that all the pieces have come together and are proper. But I will say we overdid it a bit. In Prague, we passed the COM and renewal for the .com registry, and we passed the budget. And we did that on Saturday when we were meeting in sort of workshop mode and received substantial complaints about why did we do that privately instead of in public. And so I'm here to say that I apologize. We set the threshold in the wrong place. We won't do that anymore. Nonetheless, having said that and being totally committed to putting these kinds of decisions in view where you can see them happen, I want to set your expectations properly. This is, as I said, board meetings are not going to be the place where you see new issues brought up, where you see major debates. There may well be differences of opinion among board members. We will give absolutely open voice to board members to speak their minds, put on the record any opinions. But the formation of those opinions and the debates back and forth have to take place in a more orderly way, in a more timely way, over a period of time through public comment, through open sessions during the meetings, and through the policy development processes, of course, through the supporting organizations and with advice from the advisory committees. So by the time a resolution comes to the board, the real work is all done. As I said, we'll put the highly visible decisions in front, and you'll see them. But as I say, the expectations should be set that what you're seeing is the end result of a long process, not a primary process in its own. We also are deeply committed to keeping track of what we've heard from you. The board spends its week listening, meeting with constituency groups, going to various sessions, And we started a practice last time of trying to record what we've heard and then tell you what we've heard and tell you what we plan to do about it. And that's to be followed with the expected follow-through on a sequence like that. We come back the next time and we not only tell you what we heard the last time, what we plan to do since the last time, but what we actually did do about that. So this time we are we're doing the full cycle. I'm not sure it's perfect. We'll tune it. But Thursday afternoon at the beginning of the public forum, we will document. We already have published what we said we were going to do and what we actually did, but we'll present that and, in addition, tell you what we've heard this week so far and what we plan to do about it. There is more to that second part because we will still be in listening mode even after we have told you what we've heard, because the public forum will just be beginning at that point. And we will publish shortly after this meeting the package of, as I say, what we've heard and what we plan to do about it. We are eager for feedback on that process. The whole point of it is to improve communication, and so we expect that kind of communication. Let me cover two other things, and then you will be pretty much done with me. We take the reviews required by the affirmation of commitments very seriously. We're in the late stages of implementing the 27 recommendations from the accountability and transparency review. We've also received reports from the next two reviews for who is and for security, stability, and resiliency. We're now examining these reports carefully. The process is not as visible as I would like it to be, so let me tell you just a bit about it. One of the things we do after we receive these reports is we ask the staff for an assessment, an objective assessment of feasibility, cost, and where the implementation would take place, who would be responsible for it. If we accept a recommendation, we want to know for sure how it's going to get done. We also want to reach out to the relevant parties to understand what the impact is going to be and to the relevant subject matter experts to tell us what we need to know before we go forward with the decision. We give great weight, as we should, to the recommendations in the report. We don't treat them as casual or just advice from another party. And we also look very seriously at how to move forward. We'll say more about this formally during the public board meeting on Thursday. And over time, I expect to document the full cycle of what the review processes are, not just the very heavy work that's done by the review committees themselves. Let me take up the last matter. You have a picture of you on the screen there of one of our ombudsmen, Chris Lahat, and we have another picture of Herb Way, our adjunct ombudsman. They're available in Dockside 4 all week. Fadi will mention them again. My purpose here is to emphasize something that we've discovered in reviewing the process, which is nobody has used the ombudsman to complain about the board. They use other methods to complain about the board. We get plenty of complaints, all right. But I wanted to highlight that among the various methods that are available for communicating, the ombudsman process is open-ended, available for all purposes, and in some ways more flexible than asking for a reconsideration motion, which has very narrow parameters. So give it a try. Now gives me great pleasure to turn the floor over to our host, Byron Holland, head of CIRA, steward of Canada's top-level domain. The CCTLDs are a richly varied group that provide a lot of genetic diversity and a depth in the top-level domain business. One of the things that I find myself thinking about is we have a contractual structure that tries to be as uniform as possible for the generic top-level domains, and I treasure the diversity, the richness, and the ingenuity and the extraordinary levels of competence and commitment in the CCTLD community, and within that community, among the acknowledged leaders, Sarah and Byron Holland are very visible, very active, and very effective. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome Byron to the stage here and give me a clean exit here. Thank you very much.
Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us. Welcome to Toronto. Welcome, distinguished government representatives, ladies and gentlemen, and the entire ICANN community. On behalf of CIRA, Canada's CCTLD.ca, I welcome you to Canada and certainly to ICANN 45. I'd also like to take a moment to acknowledge and thank ICANN for entrusting CIRA with the hosting duties for this very important meeting. This is Fadi Chahadi's first ICANN meeting as its new CEO, and I'd like to extend a very special welcome to him. I think we'd all acknowledge that it's not an exaggeration to say that the internet is at a critical juncture right now. The global domain name ecosystem is about to radically change with the introduction of many, many new GTLDs. And over the past years, we've witnessed a number of challenges to the multi-stakeholder model for governing the internet, the model that ICANN has more or less used successfully since its inception. These challenges are becoming more varied and more frequent. And as a result, ICANN has found itself thrust into an ever more public role with a stronger global acceptance of its mandate as a basic requirement. These are busy and complicated times for ICANN. And I commend Fadi for taking on his new role as CEO earlier than expected. It goes without saying this is a critical juncture, and it's incumbent upon you, Fadi, to do a great job, not only as the leader of a global organization, but in ensuring ICANN's operations are carried out in a manner that is beyond reproach. And above all, we look to you to lead us in developing and championing the multi-stakeholder model. So no pressure, Fadi. No pressure. But let me be the first to say that from everything that I have seen to date in your brief tenure, it's very promising, very promising. But I also know that you can't do it alone. So I think that it is our collective obligation, those in this room and online, those who are invested in this space, to act as ambassadors for the model and in an effort to support the important work of ICANN and its leadership. Together, we need to support Fadi and ICANN as it moves through this inflection point into the next phase of its existence. We need to work together to create a strong and stable foundation upon which ICANN's new leadership team can succeed. Over the coming week, please approach this meeting with a commitment to openness and transparency, and with recognition that what we are discussing has global impact. It behooves each and every one of us to work together, not just to advance our own personal goals or those of our organizations, but with the recognition that what we are discussing has serious global impact. With that said, I welcome you to Toronto, my old hometown, and to Canada, my country. Toronto is one of the most wired cities in the world, and Canadians are among some of the most engaged internet users in the world. We're very much a tech-centric nation, so it's only fitting, I think, that I can hold a meeting here. We're tremendously honored to be your host, and hope you have a chance to really explore Toronto, this wonderful city. I promise the weather's going to get better in the next couple of days, so you can explore it without a rain jacket. I dialed up the better weather, but it's coming via snail mail, not internet speed. So, please also take the opportunity to come to our booth, which is right next door, to get information about the city, and dare I say it, get your free beaver. I look forward to hosting the gala on Wednesday night at the CN Tower, which is just down the street and is the fairly obvious building on the graphic behind me. It'll be our pleasure to welcome 1,500 of our closest friends from around the world over for dinner. That said, the discussions that are going to be held in this building over the course of the next week will literally be felt around the world. And that level of importance is not lost on Sarah, and I hope not on this crowd, although I'm sure it's not. So have a great week, enjoy Toronto, and thank you very much for joining us here.
Thank you, Byron. It's always a pleasure to see you, and it's always a pleasure to be here in Canada. It's now my pleasure to welcome and introduce Fadi Shahadi. You met him in Prague, and I think we were all blown away. He comes to us with an incredible life story, growing up in Lebanon and coming to the U.S. as a youngster in relatively impoverished circumstances, and as a classic American success story, and dare I say, a classic internet success story. A huge amount of experience, wide range of talents, multilingual, and as I've said before, and will find myself saying many times, just a very fine fellow. Fadi Shahadi.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Byron. It's very hard to follow this, but I'm very humbled by your words and Byron's welcome, which I saw also in our recent meeting in Europe. Thank you, Byron. There's a lot to do, but I'm very encouraged. The partnership we have is going to make things happen. So welcome all of you to Toronto. This is my first ICANN meeting as CEO. In a great city, in a beautiful city, Toronto, despite the rain, and I know Byron will come through on his promise of fixing that in the next day or two. I learned a few wonderful things about Canada. One, for example, that Canada actually has the highest use of internet of any country in the world. Canadians spend more time on the net than any country on the planet. It's very interesting. Maybe checking the weather, but they're on the net. Another great study that just came out, Tim Berners-Lee has just issued his study called the Web Index, a very powerful study showing how countries use the internet. And needless to say, Canada is in the top five in the world as a country that has made the internet available to its people in abundance, made content available to its people in an open way, and also has seen the impact of the internet on the social scene, on the political scene, as well as on the economic scene. So congratulations to Canada. Just this Web Index was just published, and I encourage you all to look at it. I want to also start, frankly, by recognizing two people. A board member, Bill Graham, and our GAC liaison, Heather Dryden, for the incredible work they did to make us successful here in Canada. So thank you for that very much, both of you. Byron and Sarah have been tremendous hosts, and I've been here for a few days, and I want to thank you for that. I know you're about to celebrate your 2 millionth.ca, 2 millionth.ca, so congratulations on that. Very, very impressive. I also understand that the first .ca, which was issued in 1988 from John Postel, was issued to John Demko. And I believe he's here. Is John Demko here? Yes, here he is. Thank you. John Demko's here. And, with this, I just want to tell you, it's a new season at ICANN. And while it's a new season, it's a new season that we will start and build on the shoulders of great men and great women that made this possible. And what's remarkable in this industry is that many of these great men and women are with us. So I really would like us all to give a standing ovation to Dr. Crocker, my chairman, and John Lemko, please. Thank you. Not many places you can start work and see the people who made it all happen. And they're still here with great humility, with a great sense of service, with a great sense of commitment to keep this enterprise going. So we're very lucky to have them, and we're very lucky to learn from them. And again, even though it's a new season at ICANN, it's a new season that continues this great work and builds on it. Today, I have a whole hour with you, so I'm asking you to be courageous and patient with me after the Honorable Minister Clement talks to us, to tell you what's going to happen at ICANN in this new season. And I'd like this to very much be a time where together we can focus on the things ahead we have to do. And there's quite a bit to do. There's quite a bit to do. So I will talk about our new management objectives to deliver what you want us to deliver. I will talk about management structures and systems that are needed to make this happen. And I will also talk to you about some new tools we're introducing so that in this new century, we could actually grow ICANN and scale it on a global level. So I'm looking forward to share this with you, and we have a whole hour together to do that. To achieve this, I have assembled a very good leadership team. A leadership team with tremendous experience that actually can bring this whole thing together for us. And you will meet many of them, and I'll introduce them in the hour ahead. I want you to know that after a summer of listening, close listening, I am now, like many of you, a great believer in the power and the effectiveness of the multi-stakeholder model. The multi-stakeholder model is great not only because it's multi-stakeholder, but because at ICANN, it's a multi-equal stakeholder model. That's what makes it unique. So when people stop me and say, oh, we have a multi-stakeholder model too, is your multi-stakeholder model an equal model for all? Do all come to the table and get listened to and actually participate in the making of this great enterprise? That's what we have at ICANN. That's what we will maintain at ICANN. And that's how ICANN will grow in the coming century. Now, I want to tell you, I mentioned this in Prague. And in Prague, I could claim that I knew very little, so I spoke from my gut. Today, I know a little more, not much more, but a little more after a summer of listening. But I will still speak from my gut. And I will tell you that at ICANN, this team is committed, we're committed to remain reliable and to remain focused on the international scene and to make the public interest foremost in our thinking. This is very important. So when we recently announced the solution to the new GTLD program, we announced it with IDNs going first. And I hope all of you will support me on this. Even the people in whose personal interest or corporate interest may not be the case, I urge you to support us on this, because that sends the message that we want this for the world. We want this for the public interest, not just for us individually. And lastly, I just want to say that the expectations are quite high. You heard Dr. Crocker, my partner in this endeavor. You heard Byron. And many of you have come up to me very graciously, and I thank you for that, supporting me for this next step. But I want to remind us all, the work ahead is actually quite hard. There's a lot to do, a lot to do. And in the next hour, when I come back to the stage, we will discuss together, and I'll share with you all the things on my mind. But in that work, you can count on me to be patient, to be measured and to be very deliberate in doing the work that you asked us to do. And we will get the job done. I'm actually very certain of that. It's truly my honor to introduce our next speaker. The Honorable Tony Clement is the president of the Treasury Board of Canada. And these words simply mean that he actually is responsible to a large degree for the government operations across Canada. He's also the he oversees the country's 400,000 strong public service public servants. But what's particularly unique about Minister Clement is that he's actually truly an innovator, and he loves the technologies that we all share and we all bring together to this world. He is, I understand, a Twitter aficionado, personally, and he has been, frankly, at the forefront of using social media in the Canadian government. And we hope that you will all welcome him, as I do, and please join me in welcoming Minister Clement.
Thank you so much. Well, good morning, one and all. Thank you so much for the kind introduction, Mr. President. Of course, welcome to Toronto, all of you from other parts of Canada, North America, and indeed around the world. It's great to have you in our commercial capital. And true story, just was it Starbucks in the hotel part of this complex waiting for things to get underway here just about an hour ago. And a couple sat down at the same table. It was short of some space. So I thought, oh, great, I've got an opportunity to talk to some of the delegates. So I asked them, is this their first time in Toronto? Yes, it's their first time in Toronto. They're very much looking forward. Where are you from? We're from Switzerland. Excellent. So what do you plan to do for the next couple of days? Well, we are starting off here. Then we're going to see Niagara Falls. And then we're flying to Vancouver and Vancouver Island. Then we're going to Jasper in the Rocky Mountains. Then we're going to Churchill, Manitoba to see the polar bears. And I'm thinking to myself, that's a very ambitious schedule for ICANN people to kind of shoehorn in. And then it became clear that they were just tourists. They weren't actually part of the conference, which I thought was great that we're attracting tourism. But that is my way of assuring you that if you do have a little bit of time to sample Toronto or other parts of Ontario, or indeed extend your stay in Canada, you're most welcome to do so and join the Swiss tourists in that. I do want to officially, of course, on behalf of the Government of Canada, welcome all of the delegates here. We're excited to have you here at such a momentous occasion, as was mentioned, and certainly an important turning point for the future of the Internet. I would be remiss if I did not recognize, of course, CIRA, the Canadian Internet Registration Authority, done a fine job in organizing this meeting, I'd have to say, meeting number 45 since ICANN opened its doors in 98. And, of course, CIRA has done an excellent job being the custodians of .ca, which is in great use in our country, as was mentioned. Since being given that role in the late 90s, CIRA has taken its mandate very seriously to act in the public interest and pursue a market-led approach. And I would urge CIRA to continue what has worked well and continue to work toward inclusive participation, transparency, and operate for the broader benefit of society and the national Internet community. Of course, it's an honor, of course, to be among such world-class experts that we have here today, the leaders, if you will, some of the excellent leaders of the Internet movement, who can be counted amongst those who have helped to frame one of the most transformative technologies of our time. Clearly, all of you in this room share a passion for the Internet. You all appreciate its vast potential to transform and to continue to transform the way that we communicate, the way we consult and collaborate, manage data, and, of course, share information. I want you to know that I share your passion. I'm continuously amazed at the way it makes our lives simpler and better. And I'm always thinking about how to maximize its potential and how we must stay ahead of the curve. That's one of my jobs, as was mentioned, as President of the Treasury Board of Canada, which requires that I oversee the operations of the Canadian government. And it's no small task when you consider the size and scope of our government, which is a major, in and of itself, a major internet user and participant. It's a huge operation. The Government of Canada employs 420,000 people, and we're spread out over every nook and cranny of the world's second largest country. And like any other major multinational, we have offices in most countries of the world called our diplomatic missions. In so many ways, I am preoccupied with the issues that you will all be discussing at this gathering. This morning, what I'd like to do is share with you some of the things that the Canadian government has been doing to embrace and encourage online innovation. Specifically, I want to focus on our efforts to ensure an open internet and its free flow of information, which, as you all know, has been the key to stimulating innovation, economic growth, and greater accountability, amongst its many other benefits. This includes the steps we are taking to free up vast stores of government data online, which allows citizens and researchers and private sector businesses to reuse and mash up this data for various purposes. We're also phasing in the next generation of the internet, address system to ensure that the federal government websites remain accessible to the entire world. And we continue to support the multi-stakeholder model of internet governance, of course, which remains the best way to ensure the sound development of the internet as a tool that all world citizens will have equal access to. Let me just start by recognizing the efforts of everyone who has been working so hard to promote and champion the multi-stakeholder model of internet governance. In particular, I'd like to thank my colleague, the Minister of Industry, the Honourable Christian Paradis, for his ongoing efforts as Minister in raising awareness of the importance of an open internet that enables innovation and economic development. Now, to be sure, the multi-stakeholder model has served us very well in the past. It has given the internet the freedom and the flexibility to develop into a transformative technology, the transformative technology that it is today. It has done that by promoting the people and the organizations that have the most at stake in ensuring the internet succeeds in its power to make important decisions. Perhaps even more importantly, it has ensured that no single stakeholder or group dominates the decision-making process, be it governments or others. And I can assure you that Canada will continue to be a staunch supporter of this model, and that we will continue to vigorously support organizations that practice this model of consensus-based policy development. This, of course, includes ICANN. It also includes the Canadian Internet Registration Authority, which has made an important contribution to the global debate around internet governance. That said, Canada looks forward to continuing to contribute to ICANN's arm's-length governmental advisory committee, which we currently chair. The committee provides governments like ours with an important opportunity to advise the ICANN board on public policy issues that affect the internet. Later today, that committee will be meeting to discuss ways to preserve and improve the multi-stakeholder model. And I know that the members will have a lot to discuss, as we're finding out this morning already. Indeed, in the coming months, several important decisions will be made on the way the internet is governed. They will be influenced by a proliferation of proposals to subject the internet to regulatory authorities and binding international agreements. Now, of course, many of these proposals will be debated in Dubai in December at the World Conference on International Telecommunications. The purpose of that conference is to update an international telecommunications treaty first adopted in 1988. But many are using this as an opportunity to establish in some form or another international control over the internet. I strongly believe that these initiatives cannot succeed because they fail to understand that a regulatory model applied to the internet world would be worse than a bad fit. It's clear to me that damage to the innovative spirit which has given us today's global internet would be beyond measure. The bottom line is we need to leave internet operational matters in the hands of global institutions such as ICANN. So far, those who oppose the solutions of the regulatory model have been successful, and they deserve our thanks. And, of course, the upcoming conference in Dubai will be another test for all of us who stand for a single internet where all of the citizens of the world have equal access to information and ideas. I'm confident in our resolve and determination to win the day. I can also assure you that Canada will be speaking for the same principles that have been in place since we began participating in internet governance discussions. They include a stable, secure, and resilient internet, a global, interoperable internet, and an effective multi-stakeholder model that facilitates competition and innovation. Let me just talk briefly about open data. Canada also firmly believes in joining the global phenomenon, which is a growing phenomenon, of sharing and harnessing government data. Today, an increasing number of countries around the world are opening the vault, so to speak, on a vast share, a vast store of valuable information that has until very recently been diligently collected and then tucked away like your grandmother's silver. Well, the door is now being thrown open, and the possibilities are truly exciting. Our government wants to ensure that Canada is a leading participant in this movement. And that is why we launched the Open Data Portal pilot project in March 2011. You can visit at data.gc.ca. The portal is a key part of our wider open government initiative to foster greater openness and accountability. Data.gc.ca is a one-stop shop for federal government data that can be downloaded free of charge by Canadian citizens, by researchers, by voluntary organizations, and by private sector businesses. This open data portal now has more than 273,000 data sets from 21 participating organizations in the government. So far, it has attracted about 1 million user sessions, and over 150,000 data sets have been downloaded, everything from building permits, wait times for non-emergency surgeries, pollution emissions, and vehicle recalls. The portal provides a link to the departmental website where the information is hosted and updated continually. For example, data sets on border wait times are updated hourly. The data sets are available in machine-readable formats and are typically XML-based. They can also be available in human-readable formats, usually XLS, which can be read using spreadsheet software. There are two main ways to find data on the portal. You can browse by department, subject, or data type, or you can make a specific search and peruse the results by department, subject, category, or data type. And, of course, these data sets have potentially valuable applications. Yeah, think about the possibilities, for example, with the information that's currently available on the portal from 26 of the country's major border crossings. We all hate to wait in long lines at a border, but we now know, even before we leave our home, which crossing would be the quickest. This can save time, increase productivity, and improve our quality of life. And I'm just talking about what it means for one individual. Imagine when you extrapolate that across the country and to all Canadians. Unleashing this kind of information has the potential to have a measurable impact on our country's growth and productivity. Just to give you one idea, GPS data collected by governments is a perfect example of raw information that has been turned into a highly sought-after consumer application. Mapping apps, like the ones on our smartphones, are based on this data and are estimated to have unlocked $90 billion in value in the United States alone. So there's no question that the mapping app has improved my life as I go around my daily business in my own constituency or travel to different parts of our country. But open data also opens up government operations to greater transparency, increased accountability, and ultimately better service. If people have timely access to border wait times, for example, they will begin insisting that those times come down. And that combination of consumer value, accessibility to a previously untapped resource, and that margin for improving services is the perfect storm for entrepreneurial opportunity. I have now no doubt that Canadian entrepreneurs will be quick to seize on these possibilities. These possibilities that are opened by open data, whereby these businesses can mine information and turn it into useful, consumer-friendly apps. And I want you to know the Canadian government welcomes that initiative. Open data offers important opportunities to improve quality of life, increase productivity, spur growth and innovation, and fuel new entrepreneurial ideas and businesses. And we're not the only ones saying that. The European Commission estimates the open data movement could bring as much as $55 billion in economic benefit a year to Europe. Now, our open data efforts and the data sets housed there, of course, are still evolving. And we know that to capitalize on these long-buried gems, it's crucial that we reach out more and more to our entrepreneurs and innovators to turn this raw data into usable applications that will benefit all citizens, drive innovation, and spur economic growth. This will require that we take our portal to the next level, that we share what we've learned and study the experiences of other countries. Events like this international gathering are an important part of this process. So are the global efforts, such as the Open Government Partnership, which currently boasts over 50 member countries. Canada joined the partnership this year, and we look forward to continuing to work with our colleagues from around the world on common solutions to promote transparency and stimulating innovation. Let me just quickly address our government's commitment to Internet Protocol Version 6. Clearly, Canada is committed to enhancing its online services for citizens and businesses. To maintain this commitment, we need to ensure we keep pace with the rapid growth and development of the Internet. Our decision in June to adopt the new Internet Protocol, IPv6, is a good example of that commitment. At a time when the old protocol is running out of available Internet addresses, it's vital that we move to this new way of enabling the growth within the Internet. Our strategy will ensure that our web presence remains accessible to citizens, businesses, and the world. It will also promote awareness of the new protocol and encourage Canadian businesses to adopt it. Of course, the old and new protocols are not compatible, which will complicate the adoption of IPv6, but we're confident about our approach, which will maintain business continuity and minimize implementation costs during the transition period. In addition, I'm pleased to note that we are hitting the ground running. Since 2009, we have been working with the telecoms industry to develop solutions related to this new protocol. And we've also been collaborating with our counterparts in several other nations, including Australia, New Zealand, the UK, and the US, to leverage lessons learned and best practices. This is a multi-year implementation strategy, but we are making good progress in ensuring that the Government of Canada remains accessible to citizens, to businesses, and other jurisdictions worldwide as the use of the Internet and e-government continues to grow. By the way, as part of this commitment, we are also working to consolidating our web presence from about 1,500 addresses right now from the Government of Canada to six or fewer websites. This will provide one window access to the government that needs to that puts the needs of citizens first. So clearly, as has already been mentioned here this morning, we are at a critical time in the evolution and development of the Internet. It remains a powerful force that has enabled and enhanced so many aspects of society, from economic development to political revolutions to basic social interactions. And the success of the Internet, and it is a success by most measures, is a direct result of the way in which it has been governed. Yet, in many ways, the Internet has become a victim of its own success. In giving people unprecedented access to information, it has prompted some to try to control it. So our shared challenge is to protect the flexibility of the current system. We must stand up against those who wish to impose restrictions on the free flow of information online. We must also seize every opportunity to unleash the Internet's potential so that citizens, the private sector, and non-governmental organizations can leverage the Internet in innovative and value-added ways. In closing, let me reiterate our country, Canada's strong commitment to the multi-stakeholder model of Internet governance. We are emboldened by the widespread support it continues to enjoy around the world. And let me, in closing, wish all of the delegates a fruitful week of discussions and the best of luck, the best of success in the coming months, which promise to be very critical indeed. Thank you very much.
Are you guys ready for an hour working session? I am. I'll take off my jacket. You can do the same. And we have a lot to do. So let me tell you what I have in mind. This is going to be long, so please get ready for this. I don't typically speak for an hour, and I hope I don't have to speak for an hour next time. But there's a lot that I would like to share with you. First of all, I just want to... What an incredible, powerful endorsement of our model by the Government of Canada. My goodness. Wow. Just remarkable. Very pleased. I mean, Minister Clement, we couldn't say it better. And I want to tell you, if you haven't checked the news in the last 48 hours out of India, Minister Pilot has opened the door like never before to work with ICANN. Tremendous news from India. We met with Minister Pilot in Budapest a few days ago, and he felt good enough that he actually went public with his support for the ICANN model. This is remarkable. So I do think I want to thank again the team that has worked with us from Canada, and Minister Clement's words are really heartening and give us heart as we go forward with this important mission. So thank you for that. Thank you, Heather. I don't see you, but I'm here. Thank you as well. Thanks. Okay. It's a new season. Before I start talking to you about this, I want to bring to your attention what makes me stand on the stage, what I think makes us all come to these things and keep working as hard as we do. This is Malala, the 11-year-old girl who decided to write a blog in Urdu to keep her school open. Today she's battling for her life, and we just found out that she is being transferred to the UK this morning for treatment. And she's, while we're sitting here, enabling the continuity of this medium that allowed her to speak her mind, I ask us all to keep her in our thoughts. I, for sure, will offer my week, my successes, my failures, everything that happens this week for her to be better and to get well. But let's not forget that this is why we do this. At the end of the day, this is why we do this. A new season indeed. There's a lot on my mind, and I spent, as I told you, the summer listening. Let me tell you what I heard. First, and remarkably, lots of goodwill from all of you. My goodness, I have not started any endeavor before where everyone I talk to says, how can we help you? How can we make this better? Yes, it's all broken, there's all these issues, but how can we help you? The pent-up goodwill for ICANN is ICANN's biggest capital. And next to that, it's our people. It's all of us, the people that make this happen. That's what makes this possible. So the goodwill and the people behind this is what makes ICANN possible and what makes our mission really worthwhile. That I heard plenty of in the summer. Equally, I also heard many other things. I heard that we need to work on the way we deliver things at ICANN, that there is much to be desired to improve our operational excellence. I heard also that we're very U.S.-centric. And you know, I'm not going to continue apologizing about this. The internet started in the U.S., but now it's time for it to truly be the world's, and we will make that happen. But I'm not going to apologize for where this came from. When we see people like Dr. Crocker and Dr. Postel and Vint Cerf, we understand that these people did something great and gifted it to all of us. But now it's incumbent upon us to take it to the world. And they gave it. But we are too centric, U.S.-centric, today in ICANN, in our decision-making. I just realized this summer, for example, that not all stakeholders on the planet happen to be in L.A., we'd like to invite them all to L.A., but it's crowded enough right now that I think it's best we go to them. So ICANN needs to go to the world, needs to get closer to its stakeholders. We cannot tell the world that we're close to our stakeholders when all the decisions and all the staff is sitting in Los Angeles. That doesn't work, and we will fix that. Okay. The other thing I heard this summer is that our communications are not up to snuff. We do everything we can. We communicate a lot. We engage as much as we can, but it's not enough. And frankly, when I saw the amount of effort being put on engaging and communicating, it's actually a tremendous amount of effort. But what we're missing is a plan. What we're missing is putting it all together in a structured way so that we can engage with all equally, locally, in ways people understand. This is very important. It's not about announcing that I'm opening a new office in New Delhi. That's not what that is about. What it's about is to understand how we're going to engage with the people of India, for example, and bring them into the fold. That's what it's about. And that's how the listening that we did this summer yields me to this. You, the community, and our board, which is part of our community, put together a 3-year strategic plan. That plan is available on the web. I read it multiple times. I understand it. Then from that plan, you develop a yearly operating plan or operations plan and a budget to support that. I also read that, and I kind of understand it. But it's there. We have an operations plan. But I am going to base my work in the next few months on these plans. It is not my role or my job to do anything but to put the work you've asked us to do to work. And so I'm creating a management delivery set of objectives, a management delivery set of goals, And then to support these, I'm going to create a system and a structure and a set of tools to make it all happen. Today, I'm going to show you this. This is what I have in mind. I'm spending the whole week here, pretty much booked from 6 to midnight every day. But we have time between midnight and 6. You can talk to me. You can give me input. I'm very, very open to listening and adjusting this. But let me say something. Once we move, we're going to move. There is no time for hiccups here. And there is no time for backtracking. So let me share with you what I have on the management delivery. First, let me talk about the objectives. Listening to all of you, I came up with these four key objectives. The first thing is that we need to do things to continue affirming the purpose of ICANN. Secondly, we must get to operations excellence, and I spoke about this in Prague. Thirdly, we have to internationalize ICANN. And lastly, we must evolve this multi-stakeholder model so it keeps working for us. The multi-stakeholder model is designed to evolve, not to stand still. If it stands still too long, it's going to break. We have an expanding community, we have expanding work to do, and we must make sure that model works for us. Now, let me break these objectives down for you. And this is going to take a little time, but this is a very important set of messages that I want to share with you and I want your feedback on in the days ahead. What do I mean by affirmation of purpose? We've designed four goals under that. The first is to continue delivering with excellence our core internet functions, which are well-defined in our bylaws, in our mission, and we all understand. Secondly, we must act as a steward of the public interest. We must have the courage to stand up for the public interest and do it consistently, not symbolically, in reality, in how we do our work. Thirdly, we cannot remain a fortress. We cannot say, we do our thing, here's the walls, good luck getting in, and we're protecting ourselves. No, we must engage in the internet governance ecosystem. We have something to be very proud of. We must go out and tell the world what a great thing this model is and engage with the whole internet governance ecosystem. And lastly, we must deepen our partnerships with the other internet organizations that work with us. We must work closer with them. ISOC, IETF, the W3C, the RIRs, all these great organizations that make up this fantastic canvas that makes all this work. We must deepen our partnerships with them, and we already started doing so. I think this next goal is where my experience comes. We must raise the level of operations excellence at ICANN. We will not scale without this. We will not do our basic work without this. So first, we must institutionalize management disciplines. We must put them in place across ICANN. It's not an art every time. We don't create every process every time we start it. We have to put in place standard operating mechanisms and then institutionalize them across ICANN. Secondly, we must mature the organizational functions that support us. We cannot continue functioning like a startup. We have to have the back-end organizational functions that make the great team at ICANN and the great community around it, all of us, function more effectively. Thirdly, we must optimize our services to the growing number of registries and registrars. They come to ICANN to get their business done. It is our job to get their work done for them. And that needs to be raised to a new level of excellence. And lastly, we must plan for scale, securely, and for continuity. No organization that is expected to grow and to serve with the discipline we plan to make ICANN work without a plan for continuity and scale, and certainly all in a very secure way. Our third objective, to internationalize, is probably the one you all discussed the most in the last few years. And when the board asked me, what is your internationalization strategy? I said, I don't have one. I think if we do an internationalization strategy, we already externalize the job. Everything we do from the bottom up must be international. Every department we have must be assigned to look after the world. It must get into our DNA. If it doesn't, we're going to have some separate plan to be international outside of our normal plan. And I've seen this happen. I've worked in major multinational organizations where the first way to internationalize is to send people and put them out in posts and wait for the communiques. It doesn't work this way anymore. All successful international organizations have completely taken all their departmental teams and flipped them upside down and made them completely matrixed and global. That's the only way this will happen, and I'll share this with you in a little more detail in the next slides. And so, one thing that came up a lot this summer, how could you claim you're going to internationalize given the intricacy of all your government relationships? So yes, I acknowledge that a central part of our plan to internationalize has got to be evolving our government relationships. And we will do this calmly, we will do this with care, and we will do it deliberately. There is no rush here. We are working fine, but we need to understand that this has to evolve. And I think all the governments we're working with today, in the last, this is my 40th day here, in the last few days I've been here, all the governments I met with are very supportive of us evolving into this position. This last objective is an important one, and it's not last because it's least important, but because it's the one that I believe is the most medium to long-term objective for us. We must evolve this model by optimizing our policy development processes. I know that many of you here say it's working, but frankly, many of you say we could make the policy development process even better. We must evolve these and optimize them. People need to come to ICANN and get their policies done in an effective way. Secondly, we must increase and improve the participation in ICANN. I heard all summer participant fatigue. People tired. Lots of work, lots of hours. We cannot sustain this. This is not a way for ICANN to grow. So we have to absolutely increase the number of participants, but also improve, give them the tools, give them the training, give them the mechanism so that they're doing a better job for ICANN. Our SO and AC structures, this is not the Holy Grail. We need to look at them. We need to evolve them. We need to work to see, do these cover all the stakeholders? What else do we need to do? How do we evolve them and make them better? Together, we should be open to this and understand that the ground is now shifting and moving to a new ICANN, to a new season, and we must look at all these things critically but calmly so that we can do the right thing. Now, this final point is one that I brought up in Prague, and I want to bring it up again here. None of this will be possible if it's not done in a framework of true ethical standards that we live by, that we don't just put on a nice little chart and check, that we all live by. And I know that our board of directors has risen exactly to where they need to, and I'm very, very appreciative and proud of the position they took on their conflict policy as well as on the broader ethics understanding. And we too, on the staff, you can count on me because it starts with me. And on this, I want to second what our chairman said before. We have an ombudsman. Where is Chris? Is he here? Chris, is our ombudsman here? Here he is. Stand up. You can't miss him. Here he is. Reach out to him. Reach out to him. You can tell him everything from I don't like Fadi's dyes to I don't like Steve's jokes, whatever, or we don't like the way this works. This is his job. He's here for that. And I think you are in room Dockside 4. So you can find him. He's in Dockside 4. And by all means, he's here for us, for all of us, to make us better. So please reach out to Chris. He's available anytime for you. Thank you, Chris. Now, before I leave this important slide, which actually is, you just looked at the heart of all the things I'm going to be doing. Today, I want to recognize an effort that started quietly in Prague, but then grew and became a public success today that I want to share with you. In Prague, I had the privilege to meet with the African delegates, all the people coming here from the continent of Africa. And it was special for me because I'm the first African ICANN president. I come from Egypt. And I looked at them and I saw how long it's been before they felt they were included in the process. And we shared immediately the agreement that we will engage to take Africa to the next stage. It's time. And they rose to the challenge. So I want them to stand right now because what they did, they went back to Mauritius with help from Tariq Kamel, whom I'll introduce later. And they worked together from the bottom up, just like multi-stakeholder models should work. It was a great example. And they put together a very impressive strategy for Africa. This is a breakthrough. And they will be presenting this today, I believe, at 4 p.m., right? At 3 p.m. Please go and support them because this is a step forward in us embracing other parts of the world that need to be brought along. And Africa deserves this. And Latin America is also embracing this, and I believe there are some good activities starting at this venue to start getting Latin America help everywhere we can. So to the African delegation who's worked on this strategy, please stand so we can recognize you. Please stand. Thank you. Thank you. We're glad you're here. What do I do with objectives and goals? I put them in a system. This is the new management system at ICANN. I've done this before. This is not difficult. It's business 101. We're going to take every one of the four objectives. We broke them down to 16 goals, 150 initiatives, 50 initiatives, and 156 programs. And these are being broken into projects. This system is being built now. We're putting everything in it. Every one of the dollars you give us will be in the system. I'll be able to look at this and know where is every dollar of the $74 million we're spending this year goes. What is it being spent on? For what? And who owns it? What are the dependencies? What are the risks? Who benefits from it? And moreover, next year when this system is completely up and running, I will expose it to you so you can look at it. You can go online and check what's going on. This is accountability. And this is what we will be doing. Without a system like that, I cannot confess that I manage ICANN for you. This will give me manageability. This will give me and you visibility. It will make us accountable for everything we do. And it will certainly stabilize the situation. Because right now, a lot of crisis management, a lot of reactive management. We need to get into steady mode. Again, this is pretty straightforward. It's a change of culture, maybe. But it's steady. We will get this done. This second and very important bit shows you how we plan to change the structure of ICANN completely. Because to get this mission done, we have to put a system in place, but we also have to do a structural change that allows us to achieve our goals. This is important because it was my way to understand what happens at ICANN. So I took all the responsibilities in ICANN and I grouped them in this slide. First, public and stakeholder engagement. This is an area that was marbled all over ICANN. Now we're pulling it out and making it the key top area we're going to be doing in order to embrace the world. Public stakeholder engagement is about listening, and not just listening and then going dark, listening, engaging, building relationships, advocating things together. That's what engagement is. And this is very important. And you know, on my first day on the job, I brought both Sally Costerton and Dr. Tarek Kamel as our engagement leaders. This is very important, and it will change the way we engage in a structured, planned way on a global basis. And both of them are not based in Los Angeles. Okay? So we already have leaders into the leadership team who will be based outside the United States and outside of North America. This starts building and moving the decision-making to the globe, not just in the U.S. Our core technical functions, which give us the legitimacy and the role we have, whether it's IANA or the DNS, and certainly the security, stability, and resiliency mission that we have for the Internet. I'm separating registry and registrar functions into its own area. And this is important because, again, to date, these have been services offered by various areas within ICANN. We're now going to put all of these together into a single managed area, and we will have new business leadership looking at that area very specifically. This way we can manage, serve, grow, and give you what you expect when you come to do work with ICANN. This next area I heard about all summer. Okay? Even my wife talks to me about complying sometimes. It's a big deal, this compliance thing. So, first thing I did is I listened to all of you. I promoted the function. Maggie Sirad is now vice president, is reporting to me, and has complete independence to get her work done. I don't get involved in anything other than to ask her, what do you need to get your job done? What are the resources you need? What is the help you need? And we enable her. And I think you can have my confidence and hers that we're going to get this job done and we'll do it properly so that there is no question, no reproach about ICANN's commitment to contractual compliance. I have even asked Maggie to look into getting a third party to audit her work so that we have a third party saying she is truly independently delivering her decisions. Communication. This is an area where we have a lot of work to do. And I'm very happy that Sally Costerton, who used to be the CEO of Hill & Knowlton in Europe and the Middle East, who has a very, very deep understanding of the area of communications, has also agreed to lead this area in addition to her engagement area. Obviously very linked and very close to each other, but separate functions that she will also be leading. And then our core organizational functions. These are the ones I singled out as a goal, making these mature and ready to do all the things we have to do. We cannot continue to function, as I said, like a small startup. So we have to get finance, HR, IT, procurement, all these things that enable the company to work to a new level of management. And again, Akram Atalla, who's our CEO, and myself have done this many times before, and we'll get this one right. Stakeholder support is foundational to what we do. We have to support you in the policy development processes, and we have to provide the secretariats that make our SOs and ACs able to do what they have to do. And finally, governance support. Governance support is the work that we do to provide legal advice, to provide support for our great board, to make them effective at what they do, and certainly to take with great care to put attention on the affirmation of commitment, commitments that we made, and make them part of the way we work. And this is a very important area of focus for me. Now, let me finish this slide by explaining to you how all of this will work. So we're going to create local responsibilities, and you notice that only the top six areas have local responsibilities, because stakeholder support and governance support cannot be localized. These are global functions. But the rest of the functions will be localized. What does that mean for those of you who have not lived through the matrixing of an organization, which we plan to do through next calendar year? It means that, I'll give you an example, somebody could be in the communications department. He or she is responsible to Sally for achieving their goals, for doing the things they need to do. But at the same time, this person may be assigned, say, to India. And therefore, he or she is reporting also into the India leader and has to ensure that the India agenda is getting done. This is a typical matrix organization. But we're not just doing it to make a good-looking slide. We already are moving to change all of our HR policies. So people are actually evaluated and paid based on their matrix success. So we put our actions where our words are. We turn, and I've done this before, built matrix organizations, seen them fail, seen them do very well. We know that this will work. This will enable people to no longer be in their siloed departmental areas, but rather understand that they're part of a global team and it is equally their responsibility to make sure that their local responsibilities do occur. Now, for those of you trying to read through my slide, oh, are we going to have 3 regional offices, 4 regional offices? Please don't. This is detail. Let's first focus on getting the model right, and then we will see how we best get close to our stakeholders, and we will open whatever offices are needed, but that's not my priority. My priority is to think, how do we get closer, faster to our stakeholders and talk to them locally so they understand what we're doing for them and how we can help them get successful. So that's our new delivery structure. This will make us international. This will provide us with the integration. And I will tell you this quite frankly. ICANN is very siloed inside. It's a very siloed organization. And that cannot stay. That cannot stay. I cannot have a department not know what another department is doing. So the management system, by the way, which I showed you on the last slide, is not by department. It's completely done by program and initiative. So it takes a siloed organization and turns it upside down and cuts everything this way. This is quite a bit of change, and it will take time to implement all of this. But I already started. I know many people are looking at me to make all this happen, but I cannot make this happen without help. There's no way. There is just an incredible amount of work to be done at ICANN. So we have new leadership at ICANN. Let me share with you who are the new leaders. Of course, I will keep compliance close to me because I promised you I'll do that. Akram Atallah will look after the core technical services so we can continue delivering them with the excellence you expect. And he will also, as I said, own the organizational support functions. Sally Costerton is now on board as our chief stakeholder engagement officer. And she will be responsible for our public and stakeholder engagement, all the capacity building functions, the collaboration platforms we will build, and certainly on the communication side. Tarek Kamel will lead the government engagement. And I know some of you are already saying, hey, why do we have someone just for government engagement? Are they special? Well, because what I found out happens through the summer listening phase, which, by the way, never stops. I will keep listening. But what I found that happens is governments often, because of their unique ways, their demanding protocols, etc., end up siphoning a lot of the energy from engagement. So by separating these two, I actually will allow focus, finally, on all the stakeholders and yet give governments the proper deference, the proper attention by a senior, very experienced person like Tarek, ex-minister of telecommunications of Egypt, someone who I hate to admit, when I go with him to government offices, I was at the European Commission with him, I get handshakes, he gets hugs. They know him. They know him. And this is to our credit, to have someone with this caliber, with this background, one of the founders of the IGF, one of the people who brought the internet to Egypt and Africa amongst us as a leader of our governmental engagement. David Olive is now part of my leadership team, and I'm very proud to have David Olive on my team, someone with deep experience and incredible, incredible integrity, who will be leading the policy development area for us. Kurt Pritz, whom many of you know, is really, in many ways, if I could use the term, the brain behind a lot of what happens at ICANN. I'm pulling Kurt into my circle as my head of strategy. This way he stays close with me, I leverage his incredible knowledge of ICANN, and I have him help me on very specific strategies. He's the one who's going to help me keep a place at ICANN where we're not dealing with the now, where we're thinking a little bit about what's happening next. And I thank him for agreeing to be part of my office to help me with that. Of course, Kurt will also be responsible for thinking forward about the multi-stakeholder model evolution, the reviews, the affirmation of commitment. Okay? So these will all be in Kurt's area. And of course, John Jeffrey, my partner, whom I've discovered this summer, is actually one of, I mean, in my opinion, and I've had many general counsels since I was 28, one of the smartest GCs that I've ever met, very knowledgeable. And I know, so I'm going to put this out, and John, forgive me, that many of you have also told me this summer, oh, JJ, as we call him endearingly, is all over the place. You know, he makes all the decisions. Let me be clear on this. JJ is doing his job. What wasn't happening is others doing their job. We balance things. We deal with things in an executive, smart, calm way. And then the input that comes from our great legal team becomes part of the input. And John Jeffrey and I are 100% in sync on this, and you will see that moving forward in the way we work at ICANN. Now, this is not a pretty face yet, but I wanted to make sure you appreciate that I plan to bring a very senior executive reporting into my office who will own the registry and registrar services for the new GTLDs and the old GTLDs, if I could call them that. So this is important because, again, this is an area that, in my opinion, has been a bit muddled inside ICANN. It's a little bit all over the place. We own it. We do what we can. But the focus on it to make it an area of service excellence is very important. So we will be bringing someone on board that will help us in this area. So now I juxtapose the pictures and the last slide so we're clear who owns what. Ownership is the first and most important step of accountability. Okay, so I want to be very clear who owns what, and this is how we will manage. Now, I put a picture next to the registry and registrar services with dotted lines because effective this morning, I hired a very senior executive to start helping me on a consulting basis to get this area together. And he's here with us. So I'm going to ask our leadership team to all stand so everybody see them. Okay, Sally Costerton, Tarek. Come on up. Come here. Let them see you so they know you. So at least you're not all coming after me. You can go after them a little bit. So come up on the stairs so they all see you. Of course, Sally, David Olive, Tarek Kamel, Akram Atala, Kurt Pritz, John Jeffrey, and my new right hand for the registry and registrar services, and the person I'm going to work with in the next few months to figure out how to get this area right, Jean-François Baril, our first senior executive from France, also a colleague who was one of the co-founders with me of RosettaNet, who built an amazing consensus in the telecom industry in the early 2000s to build common standards that everybody shared. Jean-François, most recently, until a couple of years ago, was the chief procurement officer and head of the value chain of Nokia, managing over $30 billion of business for Nokia. He brings tremendous business experience and will help us get this right. But this is the team that I think will help us all get ICANN into a new season. So thank you for that. Second. I apologize. Second French executive. Who was the first one? Xavier. That's right. In the lead. I have many French people up here, so I need to be careful. My apologies, Xavier. Speaking of Xavier, I want to be clear. Besides the leadership team, we also have done something that I think will change the culture at ICANN and make us work much better. I have tripled the size of our executive team. We had a very small executive team, and we now have, including the leaders, 36 people, which you could consider the senior staff of ICANN. Now, you may say 36 people. That's a lot of people to manage a couple hundred people. But frankly, you know that these 36 people are working to serve a much larger group and a much larger community than the 150 people who have ICANN business cards. And these 36 people, our executives, by bringing them closer to me and to the leadership, we ensure there is no light between my office and how ICANN is managed. And I meet with them regularly. And we started a lot of programs already. We now will be starting very shortly something even simple called the WhatsApp call, where once a month, get on the phone with all the staff, all the executives, and we talk and make sure everyone is in the know and everything is linked together into one mission to get the job done for you. This is not complete without me bringing up the new and very deep and open relationship with our board of directors. I run around with this slide in my pocket, and I tell my executives, this is how we manage. We manage as a team, working together with the great board that we have today. And I put the board members, I asked them, where can you help me? And they each told me, hey, I can help you with this, I can help you with that, and that's for me and for my team. I must tell you, if Steve would permit me, there was a lot of chatter this summer that I heard also about the relationship between the executives and the staff and the board. Sometimes good, sometimes not so good. But that's over. It's just over. At our first all-staff meeting in LA, the board was there. That was a first. We did a picnic for 2 hours, and the board and the staff mingled and talked. I removed all barriers of communications between our board and our staff. There's no need for that. We're one team. We work together. We're trying to get the job done. My job is to manage, not to restrict communications. And if my team understands that, then the more communications, the better. And really, we're clapping for the great board that has allowed me to enter into this relationship with them. And I'm very, very, I've had many boards over the years. This is a tremendous board. The talent on our board is remarkable. Everywhere I go, I call them, hey, can you come with me? Again, never happened before in the last few years. I take them with me. And Erica Mann, when she took me to the European Commission, changed completely my meetings. Steve Crocker, when he came to me with meetings in Washington, changed things. Our board members just helped us with the India, complete turnaround by the India government. Thank you, Ramaraj. Thank you, Ram. This is how it should work. And I hope that one day, after getting to know all of you for a couple more years, I'll have many more bubbles and many of you in them too. Because we must help each other to get this job done. That's the new team of ICANN. Finally, tools. This is an area where, as like Minister Clement and many of you, when I came to ICANN and asked, how do we get this work done? And it's remarkable how we get this work done. It's email. A lot of email. A lot of email. It's remarkable how much email we send at ICANN. Meanwhile, we have Siemens announcing that they want to abolish all internal email within 3 years. I think if we abolished email at ICANN, we'd just stop. Everything would just stop instantly. But quite seriously, I think all of us who've worked in other environments, I've worked in manufacturing environments, Jean-François and I did for a while in some areas of that, you don't have an ERP system today as a big manufacturer, you're dead. It doesn't work. So what's the ERP system for the multi-stakeholder model? Is there one? It can't be email. That's not scalable. So what we have started to do is to move away from this paradigm and to create something new. And I'm very happy to share this with you today. It's just the beginning. But here's the idea. We're going to work smarter. Today we have ICANN.org. ICANN.org is a vehicle that will continue to be. It's a great vehicle for communications, for publication, for education. Anyone new coming to learn what is ICANN, that's what ICANN.org is. But what we were missing is an area for stakeholder engagement, an area where people can come and get their work done. And so I'm happy to announce today myICANN.org. You can go to it right now on any device. It's completely mobile aware and mobile ready. MyICANN.org is an addition to ICANN.org. It's a new environment that's personalized, that has a master calendar, because God knows how many things are going on in the ICANN community. And it gives you the ability in one place to get in and get your work done at ICANN. MyICANN.org, which starts today, it actually is being unveiled as we speak, and you can check it out, will have initially, in the next few months, four main components. The first one is information distribution and management, because God knows, again, how much information is in the ICANN sites and partner sites and other sites that serve the ICANN community. Lots of information. When I was given the count of even the sites and microsites we manage, it was in the tens, close to 100 sites. How do you get at the information you need? Let's say I only speak Russian and I go to ICANN today. How do I find everything I need in Russian? Let's say I'm only interested in things related to the ESSAC. How do I just see what's new about the ESSAC? Very difficult. We're going to solve that. Secondly, we're going to put a full process management system inside that, which means if you're interested in a particular policy development process, a PDP, you can go and see it live, you can see where it is, you can click on it, you can ask for alerts when things are happening. It will be a live process management tool that allows you to manage your work in ICANN. Thirdly, we're going to put training tools for the new participants to help them learn how to work within ICANN and to help them advance and become even better at participating in the various ICANN activities. And lastly, we're going to build a true collaboration tool for synchronous and asynchronous meetings. So we don't have meetings, and then the meetings go away, and when we meet next time, what happened at that meeting? Where are the documents that were shared? What were the action items? Who voted on what? We're going to create a true collaboration platform that allows all this information to be in one place and to be managed. Now, here's the more interesting even part, which will please many of the people doing business or working with us. We're going to also take all of our internal systems as we build them and bring them online and connect them into MyICANN. So if you have some team at ICANN managing your trouble ticket, you'll be able, through MyICANN, to see the trouble ticket, its status, what's going on with it, live. This is basic. This is happening all over the place today. There is no new invention here. What we're going to do, though, is bring it all together. And remember, in Prague, I told you, I'm going to step outside of ICANN and look at it from the outside in. Look at it from your perspective. That's why we call this MyICANN. I'm coming to ICANN. I need to get my business done. How do I see it? That's what this site will start doing for you. Now, we just started this effort. So all we have right now is a very small beta, but it's beginning. And I wanted to bring it out today so you see it and you give us input and you tell us where to go from here. So this is for you to look at, to play with, and to give us insight and input. So anybody, including a Mountie, could come in today and get to MyICANN on the web. They can get to it on any mobile device. They can link it to their RSS engine, their email engine, their calendar. They can do all of that today. And here is the roadmap. Today, you're getting a V1, a beta. I emphasize it's a beta, so we still have to work on things like DNSSEC and IPv6. We're just starting. And the beta is only with the information distribution bit. In Beijing, we're going to release the next beta, which will have the other three core activities. And then V3 will start including our internal systems as they come online. I'm very pleased that Akram brought on board a very experienced new vice president of IT, who's right here. And you can talk to him and meet with him, but I'll tell you, he's coming and his hands are full already. When I got my first inventory of systems at ICANN, for example, I found out we have seven trouble ticket systems. not sustainable. Not sustainable. So we have new leadership and new focus, and we're going to bring these things in the right place. And as soon as they become available, we will put them on my ICANN so you can see what is important to you. And the first one there you see is the management system, the one I showed you earlier. So you know what's happening at ICANN that is important to you. Do I have a little time to show them my ICANN, or am I out of time? Can I show it to them? Okay. So how do I switch to this? It's on. Okay, so here it is. Again, my ICANN beta. Very easy. You can create an account in a second, and I encourage you to do so, because you can browse it without an account, but with an account you get some extra features, which I'll show you. And the front page is pretty straightforward. You see all the most recent news of ICANN. Anything that is happening in all of our sites will appear real-time here. On the right-hand side, you'll see any particular information that we want you to see, any featured information, any today's news, etc. Now, let me show you the two cool things in this first very, very small version, but it's okay. I want you to appreciate the value you can get here. If you press on all topics at the top, you'll be able to go in, and on the left-hand side, see a series of topics. You can pick the topic you're interested in. Say, I'm interested in groups, advisory committees, and ESSAC. So now, everything that is published right now, this second, in any place that I can relate it to this, shows up on the right-hand side. If you click on it, you go into the actual article, and if you open that article, you'll be able to see everything. This is all streamed live, by the way. We didn't re-enter all this information. My ICANN is streaming all this information live from all these sources. So here it is, all the and it has this great, smart, very smart engine that shows you any other information more like what you just opened at the bottom of each page. And of course, at the top of this page, if you simply click on the title, it actually takes you to the source of that article. In this case, an ICANN website that is out there. We went and got this data, took the piece that is important for ESSAC, and showed it to you. Again, very, very powerful way for us to keep you appraised. Of course, I had saved this article, I think earlier someone did on this computer, but you can remove it. You can email it. You can print it. You can get a link and share it with somebody. That is all available to you real time. Every topic, and this is something I like, because I think it emphasizes our folks, everything in a different language. So I want to see everything in Russian that is right now being published at ICANN, live. Okay? So very powerful new tool to distribute information to you. I want to also show you a couple of cool things here on the calendar, because I know this has been a bit of heartache for me. When you go to calendar, my ICANN is actually going to display to you all the calendars available in ICANN, all in one button. And these calendars will be shown in different colors, and we need to get a PDP going for colors, so we make sure we don't upset anybody with colors. But you are welcome to tell us that the ALAC prefers a different color. But here, and I'm happy with this, and of course you can change the time zone immediately. This is UTC, but you can change it in any time zone. When you register, it'll automatically do that for you. Here, I'm seeing all the calendars, but I can say that I'm only interested maybe to see the GNSO calendar, so it'll go and sort that out for me. And of course, the calendars are also linked to your personal calendar. So you're able, after you see any of these calendar items, to go to the bottom of this and say, here, this is, of course, all the calendars. I hope you don't do that to your own calendar. But if you press on that, it works with Outlook, it works with iCal. You'll be able to immediately put these events straight into your personal calendar, and they'll be automatically updated by my ICANN. Okay? So that's all linked already and working. And, of course, any of these items, if you open any of these items, it'll show you the origin of that item, where did it come from. It'll go pull that information, and you're able to understand where that item came from. Okay, so this is the calendar, and there's one last feature that I really like here before I do something else. If you go to my account, I presume this is a logged-in user that I'm using. Is this a logged-in user that I'm using? Okay, if you go to my account, there's a feature that I really like. I just told you we need to kill email, but I'm about to show you how to create more email. So please do this judiciously. But if you insist to get ICANN news via email because you don't have time maybe to go to my ICANN, you can go here after you set your time zone and say, listen, every Monday and Thursday at, I don't know, at 5 or 6 a.m. because with my coffee, I want all new information about the ESSAC, and it automatically puts that on the right, all new information about the ALAC. And once you do this, you'll get that email in your inbox. It'll pick all the new information and add more email to your email. Lastly, when we have some new interesting things that are happening, we're going to post them on the homepage. And in that first homepage, I'm going to show you something that I want to bring to your attention. And this is interesting because when Sally and I joined ICANN, one of the first things we asked for, can we get a picture that describes how internet governance works? And generally, we got horrified looks. What do you mean, a picture that tells you how the internet governance works? Okay, how about a picture how ICANN works? Well, yeah, here's 40 pages. Go read them. Maybe we're simple people, but I think a picture would be really helpful. So we started putting together an effort, and we actually reached out also to the RIRs and other ISTAR organizations to get their ideas. So here on the right is literally a doodle, the initial doodles, and we're offering them to you so you can go and give us input on them. So here's the first doodle we're working on, which is how the multi-stakeholder internet governance works, who's who, what do they do. Right? This is just it's not a finished product. It's just a sketch, but we're starting to work on it. This is now on my ICANN, so please go, because at the bottom of this form, you can give us your comments, your insight, your ideas. But it would be great if all of us, in the next few months, when we go to Wicket, to various environments, we meet governments, we're explaining to them what ICANN is, we have a picture that we and the other I organizations agree on. Hey, this is how it works. Okay? I think it's already very helpful. It'll help my mom, too, who's still at 86, trying to figure out what the heck I do all day. And we did the same thing for an ICANN. So this is ICANN. How does ICANN work? What is inside ICANN? What do we do? This is actually a tougher one than the first one. But please, again, it's out there on my ICANN. Go in, look at them, scrutinize them, give us your ideas, and tell us all the things I still don't know and Sally still to discover. This is why it's there for you. Is that good, Denise?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So with this, I want to conclude with this one slide. This is a shot that Akram took of me recently, and he sent it to me. He has this little toy on his iPhone to take these pictures. But it was a moment where I was obviously thinking about a lot of things. And I am thinking about a lot of things. So while the management piece, the structure, the system, this has been there, we will get this done. But there are bigger things we need to be thinking about as a community. So I'm going to share with you a little bit what's on my mind. First, the ATRT, the beginning of our AOC reviews. So yes, we're going to be reporting great progress on the ATRT at this conference, at this meeting. But is that good enough? Is it good enough to just check the boxes? The ATRT has to become part of our DNA. How do I do that? I'm thinking about this. But I assure you that I will not let this opportunity go for us to embrace this great opening, this great opportunity that ICANN got to grow and to become a truly international organization, which is presented to us through the AOC. I will make this part of our DNA. I am also, like many of you, thinking about the new GTLD program. I think we've had our share of missteps, but we're going to get this straight. And for those of you who have seen the initial proposal that we just put out, which is for all of you to comment on and give us feedback on, we're making progress. We're solving issues. But I am concerned, and I will be very close to this process, because we, as a community, cannot afford another hiccup. The RAA, agreement and the negotiations around that and other agreements we have. But right now, of course, it's the RA. It's something on my mind. And I must tell you, if we don't get this right now, we miss an opportunity. So we must all together work as a team to get this one right. The world is watching us and is not going to give us a break if we scuttle this one. Same with the WHOIS. I think right next to the Middle East problem, this has got to be the longest problem on the planet. It's unbelievable. Every time I ask, 10 years of back and forth and back, this is remarkable. And it's everywhere. I hate to tell you, it's like cancer. Every agreement I look at, oh my God, the WHOIS, we're stuck on WHOIS. We don't even have, as the SAC just published, we don't have agreement. Why the heck are we doing this? Yes, there is history for why these things started, where they started. But guys, it's 12 years on. Let's think about this. This is not difficult. The Middle East problem is difficult. This is not difficult. So we must look at this. We must look at this with integrity, with seriousness, and address it once and for all. And let's move on to discuss new things. If you didn't have enough acronyms that I can, here's three I can never remember. Even this morning I was telling Chris, is it really WTPF or PTF? Okay, more acronyms for you. But of course, for those of you who don't know these acronyms, these are all the big fora that are going on by various international organizations to decide, various things that affect us and affect the people of the world. It's on my mind. It's on my mind. And I'm just very delighted that I have with me the great, steady, deep experience of Tariq Kamel to navigate these four. And we will navigate these four. We have great leadership. We have a great board that is looking at this. We understand the issues. And I look at this, frankly, as an opportunity. Again, an oasis, not a fortress. So when people ask me, what is your number one strategy to deal with all these things? You know what's my number one strategy? Is make ICANN work. Because when ICANN works well, nobody can come at us and say, hey, this is a dysfunctional bunch. So it's incumbent upon us to make ICANN a model of a working multi-stakeholder organization where all voices are equal. We do that, everyone follows. Let's stop being behind. We need to be ahead of this game. And of course, I, many of you would like to fill in the blank on this one. And yes, please do fill in the blank. That is exactly what I need you to do during the next few days. But I'm just sharing with you what's on my mind this moment. Literally this morning, I put these in. This is what I'm hearing from you. And if there are others, I'm here. Come fill my mind. I need to do your work. This is what I'm here for. I will finish with the bubble that is hardest. Because balance is the hardest thing to do. And balance at ICANN is tough to achieve. We have not always achieved it as we should. Balance between our focus on the English-speaking world and the rest of the world. That balance must be achieved. Balance between our focus on governments versus businesses versus users versus the broader public interest. How are we doing that? Are we good there? Do we need to do better on balancing our focus? Balance on new GTLDs and GTLDs versus all the other work we have. This is difficult. But this is a big area of focus for me. Because if we don't achieve that balance, we're shortchanging somebody and the multi-stakeholder model is no longer a multi-equal stakeholder model. We have got to focus on this. And I need your help. And you know how we keep balance? Yesterday I had a couple of meetings with people here. I listened. And I learned from them some things, and I immediately adjusted our positions. That's how balance is achieved, by engaging, by talking, by being honest and genuine about the success we need to achieve here. So it is a new season, and I hope that in the months and years ahead, we can see this land grow some good things, and hopefully we can all get a good product, a good set of grapes that we can all be very proud of. These are the three pictures that I put in my office when I came to ICANN. And I know that we need to get there. And together we will. Thank you.
This is not fair. It says he's supposed to close this off, and now he makes me follow him. I don't like that. I don't know about you guys, but I'm drained. We've already done a hard day's work, and we're just beginning. We're off to a fantastic start, and we're going to take the break now and then move on to the many, many different meetings and great events throughout the week. Thank you all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next session will be new GTLD update for applicants.